podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is the 5th of July, 2021. My name is Patrick Smith. I had to read that off a sheet. It's been so long since we've had to start or do a podcast, but it is fantastic to be back. A bit different as well. We've been delighted to be, there's a producer this. We've got two producers, and Sinead and Anne watching on, and they're going to be guiding us through this. Thanks to the Giants for facilitating. And I'm looking at a screen with my three good friends in front of me. It's been a while, gentlemen. Mr. David McGimsey, how are you?
Mate, it's July.
It's your favourite month of the year, mate.
Second favourite month of the year, so it's good to be back.
Good. When are you heading home?
Saturday. We were delayed. It was supposed to be coming tomorrow, but due to some COVID protocols that the school put in on the last day of term, we have to isolate for 10 days. So we're not back until the weekend, but then all systems go.
I think it's a ticking time bomb for us here as well. The kids in nursery, I feel that we're going to be in. We're supposed to be flying back in a couple of weeks as well, and I get a feeling there's just going to be a phone call. So, anyway, we might get to some things like that. Mr. Kitchen, you admirably run through the signings last week. How are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, I'm all good. Again, just, you know, keeping the head down, working away, and hopefully this COVID will be over sooner rather than later, because it's been a long 18 months.
You take any money off Mr. Ellery at the golf?
No, he took £2 off me, to be honest.
Did he?
I hope he's not watching it, because he will go into detail about it. So that's all I'm saying.
And also join us, of course, a man with seems to be the WWF Intercontinental Championship on the wall behind him, Mr. Joel Neal. How are you?
Hello, Paddy. Hello, boys. It's actually the Attitude Era World Championship, the only belt that matters, but thanks for picking up on that. Bought it on eBay after a few wobbly pops and haven't been able to sell it, so you know how it goes.
so it goes on the wall?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, it's can't find anything else to do with it. I'm just trying to get the money's worth, but yeah, it looks all right.
It does. The Elite League begins in fewer than 100 days. The weekend of the 25th and 26th of September has been earmarked as the opening weekend for the 21-22 season and the return of our own professional hockey here in the United Kingdom. There have been a number of pre-season fixtures announced for the likes of Nottingham and Cardiff. While in Belfast last week, we hit the fan base smack in the face with three title-winning Belfast Giants returning to Teal. Darcy Murphy, Kevin Rain, and Tyler Bescarwani will hit the ice in the SSE Arena to defend their Elite League title. And in this week's show, we'll bring you some more names, plural, to that list of new signings for the Belfast Giants. And who will they be? You'll just have to wait and see. Or skip forward when you find it. Don't skip forward. There's plenty of good stuff before we get to that. Firstly, we had the lads, and we've heard from Adam Keefe. We've heard from Jeff Nason and we've heard from Steve Thornton on the new signings. But let's get the opinion of people who actually matter. Mr. McGimsey, what were your thoughts last week at those three names going on, being the first on the Belfast Giants team sheet?
Sorry for jumping in there, Paddy. Did you get your teeth done as well, did we?
No, mate, that's just the colour of them.
Right, okay. Have you been to Turkey during lockdown, son?
It's like a flare. This works brilliant on radio, guys. Brilliant.
It must be the lighting, because it tell you up close to a lovely shade of yellow. But
beautiful.
It's a lovely statement of intent, I guess, from the club. Talking about us bringing the band back together. You know, bringing Tyler Bescarwani, Darcy Murphy, and Kevin Rain back in as a real nice spine to any sort of team. You know what you're going to get out of all three in terms of lovely goaltending, rock solid defense, and a guy who can snipe for fun. So, you know, you only have to listen to Tyler Bescarwani talking about facing Darcy Murphy coming down on him in training, let alone what he's faced. I remember really vividly Darcy Murphy scoring a really late, I'm nearly sure it was on the power play away at Fife, right towards the end of that season. Top of the right circle, and he's rested one before the goalie's even moved. Yeah. It might have been Shane Owen, and it's actually kind of
it was Shane Owen,
and you know, when Besko moved on, obviously we've brought Owen in, but that's a real, real nice start from the Belfast Giants in terms of recruitment.
Joe, which one was the bigger surprise of the three of them?
It's really hard to call. I think we can probably say that you would have hoped to see Kevin Ryan back in Belfast again. For my money, the best defenseman in the league, and the man who you build the team around. It's hard to call between Durf and Besko in terms of who you'd rather see back, or sorry, who you least expected to see back. For me, it's probably Darcy Murphy. He's the kind of guy after he took off into Europe and started lighting up there. I thought we'd maybe get another year out of him whenever he came full circle in his career. He might come back just kind of to cap things off. For that announcement to contain all three of those names, I mean, if you were given any Giants fan a scrap of paper and say, write down your dream wish list for hockey coming back to Belfast after 15 plus months, those three names would appear over and over and over again. But between Darcy Murphy and Tyler Beskrowani, just absolutely stunned in equal measure.
Simon, have you been warming up the voice?
Darcy Murphy! Come on, wee man!
Finally, I left the tank then, though. How about that? I'll be looking forward to it. You know, I got lucky enough to do it. I don't know how many home goals he scored last season, three years ago now, for God's sake. That's Steve and Adam have done a brilliant job. Mace, I've done a brilliant job to get those three guys in. And, you know, from what I'm hearing, it wasn't too much encouragement for all three because they've loved their time in Belfast. Besko, you know, he picked up a job selling cars for a short period of time. And when the call came in from the Giants, he says that he really didn't have to think about that much. And I know when he was talking to Joel last week, he had options of going to Sheffield. And he turned around and said, it's only Belfast, that's it. So, you know, when you hear things like that from players who have been here, who have won championships here, you know you're doing something right, because it's all about the organisation, it's all about the fans, it's all about the city. And, you know, it's not hard to sell Belfast to anybody at the minute.
I think what Joel said there at the start too about, you know, expecting maybe to see Darcy towards the end of his career or whatever, you know, with Besko going away, having the baby, English speaking country, somewhere he knows, that stability in his life at the minute. You know, I could see Darcy or could see Besko back here before Darcy. You kind of expect somebody that scores 50 goals to maybe head around Europe for a few years, see what's out there. But, you know, it's a big, big signing for us. It's brilliant for us as fans of the club to have that excitement coming back again, and fair play to him. He must be comfortable here too. And people play their best hockey somewhere they're comfortable, so that can only bode well for us.
From the makeup of the team, Davey, and statistically as well, we spoke the last time we had a season that the Giants really struggled to replace the goals of Darcy Murphy in the side, and despite, you know, we had some good players up front, but we were struggling to find the guy who had that sort of scoring touch that Darcy Murphy has.
We haven't had one in 20 years of the Giants.
He broke
on known ground. You know, okay, we have had some players that have had really, really top class season, and we came in. Jordan Smother. Theo's a different story altogether, and we're going back 15 years now. But like right through the organization, you know, we've had guys that knew how to put the puck in the net. But Darcy was something different, and I don't think it's cruel to say in the couple of years he was here, he started slow, but.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely.
And so someone that knows when to get hot in the new year and down the stretch is invaluable. You know, and I don't think Darcy would find that critical. He did. He did start slow statistically as well. And that first season especially, they were trying to find different combinations going together. Rutherford, who was really with that season?
Blair Riley and David Rutherford.
Yeah, so and they took time, and they probably carried the team as well for a long stretch of time. So we didn't really replace Darcy Murphy's goals, but we didn't really have anyone before him that we were replacing those 50 goals a season. You know, is it fair to expect Darcy Murphy to come in and score 50 goals again? Probably not. You know, but
we're still gonna.
But I still, that's what we want. In terms of goal scoring, I think we'll also recruit other center men that have got, you know, goals in their locker, goals on their CV. So you know, you can't put all the weight on one young man who's still a relatively young fella, not that long out of college in the pro game. He's had an electric start to his career, but we will have to recruit some veteran leadership around this boy too.
Conan Nabesco, Joel, you know, again, we talk about Thirsty Murphy having that sort of touch that we haven't seen in 20 years, you know, that sort of scoring touch. And Nabesco, arguably the best goalkeeper we've ever had.
Agree.
I'll come back to you, Davey, if you want to.
Yeah, I assume the Isle Boys want to open the dusty old history books there and get into it. But
it's no Derek Wilkinson.
For my money, Tyler Bescarani's the best man I've ever seen between the pipes for the Belfast Giants. Championship teams, whether it's a sniper at the front who's going to bag you 50 goals in a season, or whether it's somebody between the sticks at the back, championship teams have those individuals that will turn the tables and haul a game on their back whenever it seems like it's all going wrong. And in that signing announcement, all three of them are of that material, the kind of guys who have that little edge, that little bit of clutch that makes a game where you might lose by a goal, it turns it around and finds you a late winner, or makes the massive save towards the end. Bescarani, for me, like I said it in that article on the Giants website, the sheer size of him, the fact that he's what, 6'4", the fact that his technique, his transitioning, his glove side, it's just so fluid and so fast. He moves like a man that's a couple of feet shorter whenever you see those smaller goaltenders that have that kind of electric speed. But some of the things he does is just otherworldly. You know, there were a lot of kind of, I guess, memes or videos that went around in Bescarani's season showing sort of a Bescarani save beside a world-class NHL save. And even in terms of the speed of the puck and the flash of the glove or whatever it was, blocker side, it looked exactly the same. Like, Bescarani came to the Belfast Giants as a little bit of an unknown entity. I mean, he took that year out. He had played for the Edinburgh Capitals for half a season before they obviously folded or ceased operations. And it just so quickly, within a couple of weeks, you just knew we had something special. And it's lovely now with the re-signing announcement that we can just get so amped up about it because we know what we have.
And says, let's move on to Rayner. And, you know, Rayner, his first season, brilliant. We've not forgotten about the Sheffield thing, Rayner. We'll let that pass in the comments that were made. And we give him a telling off about that. And he didn't took it well. You know, some things we don't forget about.
I kind of had forgotten it.
There's a phrase around these parts.
Not big grudge guys historically, are we?
There's a phrase around these parts, Joel. You get to know it. But he is so key. And as Joel said it earlier on, again, arguably one of the best defensemen in the league.
I think he's the best defenseman in the league. I mean, let's be honest, he's not going to score a bucket load of goals. And I think he got four the last season that he was here, which most of them were probably in March, I think it was, as well. You know, he scored a couple, you know, I think he scored a couple in the playoffs as well. But look, defensively, there's nobody better in the league. I mean, again, chatting to Bescarani last week, you know, the amount of shots that Rayner blocked as well, you know, never heading goalward is just insane. And, you know, and he plays big, big minutes. He takes a lot of the ice up. He's a fantastic skater. You know, he gets across the ice very, very quick. And, you know, especially off a stop start, you know, he can change direction very quickly. He's just a top, top player. And, you know, it's really, really good to have him back as well. So, you know, as I say, the first three signings that we've had are outstanding. The ones that were coming are very, very good. Adam and Steve are starting to put together, and Mace and Stewie as well, throw him in there. So, you know, they're starting to put together something that really could be a really good, exciting season to start off with. And as I say, the first three, they're just worthies.
I'll come back to you, Davey. What was your goalie argument?
Oh, listen, Marty Campbell was good. When you're talking about goaltending, and I can't argue with Joel's point about Tyler Bescarani being absolutely top drawer and right up at the very top level of Belfast Giants goaltending through history. But he's played one season, and I don't mean that disparagingly. If Tyler Bescarani comes back here and has another light-up season, he's played 150 games. But, you know, Stephen it's Murphy. Always going to be in my heart, Stephen Murphy. You know, let me quickly throw some stats. Come on, indulge me. I had them open there, but I've lost them now.
Quickly probably wasn't the right word, but carry on.
Great review.
Yeah, you talk amongst yourselves.
While he's doing that, can I make one point that we kind of have missed? The one thing that, that sort of is the common theme throughout these three signings, and it's so important to our club, it's three guys that completely buy into the culture of Belfast and the Belfast Giants. Like, whenever you talk to them one-on-one, you can tell. We say that this is one of those old AVFTB cliches, but they get it. All three of them, to a man, completely know and understand what this club means to the community and the fact that it is bigger than any other club that they've played for in terms of its meaning to the fan base. And to see Adam Keefe, Steve Thornton, begin with three signings who are not only electric on the ice, but are so bought into what the Giants mean and the purpose of the club, just couldn't be better all around.
Back to
David numbers.
Missed this.
Go on.
For every game that Tyler Bescorani has played for the Belfast Giants, Stephen Murphy has played six.
Wow. Right?
That's the sort of numbers we're talking about here. You know, Stephen Murphy, 10,500 saves, 26 shutouts. Tyler Bescorani now, 8 shutouts in terms of an import goalie equal with a goalie we don't talk about anymore. But Stephen Murphy's numbers, you know, are right up there. You know, as we know, like, you've seen Murph in the Elite Series and stuff, and whether physically, whether his heart's still in the game, whether he's coming back, I do not know. You know, is he willing to play second fiddle to Tyler Bescorani again? Who knows what the summer will hold for Stephen Murphy? But, you know, in terms of Besco, absolutely brilliant. For me, Stephen Murphy still sits atop of that to be shot at, quite rightly so, and I hope... And I'm sure Stephen Murphy, as he has Belfast Giants in his heart, will want Tyler Bescorani to go out there and break records and win things. Joel talks about, you know, you have to have those wins in your CV. Never win anything with British goalie. And Stephen Murphy has won a lot on more than one occasion. Carried us along with Jeff Swayze, that playoff championship. Everybody talks about Swayze scoring the penalty shots. Stephen Murphy doesn't stop Max McBriar at the other end. Evan Chevrolet doesn't need to go and score that goal. So, you know, Murph came from Manchester. I remember being in Manchester for the final first leg, maybe, of one of the cups way back, 2008, 2009, Knockout Cup, Challenge Cup final. We had the final in the ice bowl.
Yes.
Murphy was in nets for the other team. And there was Manchester fans being really disparaging about him. And it was just like, geez, I wish he would play for us. And then just as fate had it, we ended up in Belfast. And he's gone on to have an absolutely unbelievable career. It kind of rankles with me a little bit if it is to be the end for Stephen Murphy that he played his last game in a Manchester shirt rather than a Belfast one. But, you know, I'm not sure whether they'll count that as an actual competition or not, because then Mark Garside and me are going to have words. But it's like the records are there to be broken. And I'm sure Stephen Murphy will wish Tyler Bescorani all the best in trying to break them.
Very true. Well, it's funny you bring up that tournament, because we're going to announce the next two names on the Belfast Giants roster for the forthcoming 2021-2022 season. I'll do so. Mr. McGimsey, do you have any statistics for these two lads?
Let me have a wee quick look here. They're highlighted because the... Yeah, I've got some statistics. Who do you want?
Well, you choose. Well, don't let on who it is yet. We'll bring them in, but...
Okay, we'll go for the first one then. He's played 142 games for the Belfast Giants, scored 11 goals, 36 assists, all good for 47 points. Introduce him, Paddy.
Well, no, because what's the other one? Bring him in together.
Oh, the other one. I've got to scroll well down the list for the other one.
Scrolling.
He's played 62 games. He's got 4 goals and 16 assists, good for 20 points.
And the two returning names to the Belfast Giants are, of course, Lewis Hook and Kieran Long. Please welcome them to A View from the Bridge. How are you doing, lads? Oh my goodness.
Come on.
Oh,
come on. We're done.
Right. So,
quickest interview ever. Get it over and done with.
This is the quickest and worst interview ever. I've no doubt that Sinead and Anne are now already cutting this out to stick on Instagram and Twitter, because Mr. Hook and Mr. Long have turned up in England shirts with three lines on their shirt. How are you, gents? Is all right?
It's coming.
Yeah, good.
It's coming. I'm good. How are you guys? Good to see you.
And we'll finish you.
I think we'll wrap it up there. No, I'll start with you, Longer. Welcome back, mate. What's brought you back?
Lots of things. Obviously, everyone knows I'm getting married here.
Yes, that's congratulations. One of the reasons.
Thank you.
If you don't take that top off, you might not be.
I had a lot of grief wearing it, but, you know, you got to stick to your guns. But, yeah, no, I just – you could love Belfast, everything about Belfast. The fans are great. Boys are great. The club is amazing. Yeah, it was a really easy decision.
Lewis?
Yeah, the same thing. Ever since I signed for Belfast, obviously 2 seasons ago, you know, I've loved every second. You know, fortunate enough to win some trophies there, and obviously we just want to continue that. I think Kiefer and Steve are putting together a great team. And yeah, I've got some great friends, you know, friends on the ice, friends off, you know, backstage. And yeah, it's kind of a second home to me, so a no-brainer to come back.
Longer, we often joke on this podcast and through the years, you know, Belfast's greatest recruitment tool is our women. And that's you know, without me taking a piss too much, you know, that's playing out here. You know, with guys that have came to Belfast, have got married, they've made Belfast their home and stuck with the club for many, many years.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's definitely a trap for the British boys. I'm sure Kiefer sets out these girls laying around for us.
I'll just jot that question down for him. That's fine.
I love everything about it. Like, Hannah's family are great. They make me feel really comfortable. And just that, in general, the people in Northern Ireland are just really kind people, to be honest, and fun. It's great crack, as you guys would see.
I would.
Boys, I know it's been a long time, and I know you were off the ice for after the season ended abruptly in 1920 or whatever it was. it's just screwed you up time wise. But I wanted to take you back to the most recent part of your hockey career, and both being selected for Team GB and participating in the World Championships. Hooky, you know, you've obviously got the chance to play out in Latvia, and it was in difficult circumstances being kept in that bubble within the hotel and just the rink. How was your experience with Team GB?
I mean, it was an awesome experience. I think, you know, at the same with Longer, it was our first experience. So we, you know, the COVID and the bubble, it didn't really affect us because we hadn't seen it previously. So it was just awesome to be there. And yeah, I mean, Longer's going to say the same. It was just surreal. And getting up close with those guys and being able to play against those guys, it's just something you don't get to do every day, and we loved every second of it.
Longer?
Yeah, no, I agree with everything Hooker just said. Being in a bubble was slightly different to what you would have expected a couple of years ago, but I mean, it was still a phenomenal experience, and I literally wouldn't. I've been trying to get into that squad for a long time now, so it was great to finally pull that jersey on and do the country proud.
And just a wee follow-up there. Obviously, with getting that taste in Latvia and again, in difficult circumstances, and the opportunity again to come back to Belfast, does it give you a little bit of grit in your mouth to go ahead to head to Finland next year?
Yeah, definitely. I like, obviously, with my numbers I put up last year, I still want to prove to staff and people that I can do what I did at Manchester in Belfast.
Okay, you can jump in anytime you want.
Yeah, no, same for me, obviously, like, yeah, but, you know, making that team this year was awesome, but the key now is for me to try and make that team next year and then the year after, and obviously to do that, we've got to come back to Belfast and obviously have a great season, so hopefully that happens.
Longer, before Joel jumps in there, I remember talking to you just when you'd signed for the Belfast Giants, and we talked about not the difficulty you'd face, but the challenge you would face in probably not playing the same sort of role that you were playing in Manchester and then being judged on numbers effectively at the end of the season. You know, I can't remember off the top of my head, but Manchester probably around 30 goals or something, and then you come to Belfast and play a completely different, you know, role, less time on ice, not as much power play time perhaps, and you end up with 4 goals over the course of the season. How difficult is that to then, you know, people will naturally gravitate to elite prospects or whatever and just say, oh, he had a terrible season. So what is it you're going to try and do this season to, you know, change people's minds?
I think I just got to keep doing what I'm doing. I think that's more on what Kiefer wants me to do. Obviously, we're here to win trophies, really. That's the big important picture of it all. And if playing more defensive role to do that, I'm more than happy if we're bringing silverware to the table.
Boys, first of all, great to see you both again. We talked kind of at the top of the show about the three signings that have been made so far in Besko, Darcy Murphy and Kevin Rain, and just how those are three guys that really buy into the club and how important they recognise how important the club is to the fan base and to the city. And you're two that I would very much put in that same category, and it's great to see that running through kind of the list of recruitment so far. And what I've been kind of wondering about is, I guess when the lockdowns hit, you know, everybody's jaw was thrown into turmoil. But for you guys, it's probably the longest that you haven't played hockey since you were kids. I mean, since you were skates first put on your feet at whatever age it was. What was that like to suddenly have the thing that has defined you for most of your life taken away? And what was the process like to get back to kind of game shape again for obviously Hookie, you were with Nottingham, and Longer, I think you went to the Bees for the NIHL Cup.
Basically, it was me and Hookie were texting all the time because we kept hearing like hearsay of the NI series potentially starting before it did, and we were trying to get something sorted so that we could be involved, because obviously it was weird, like not being able to play hockey for a long time. And I think having that taken away from us, it was hard, for me anyway.
Hookie, would you say the same? And talk to me about the process of whenever, after however many months it was, you knew that you were going to be back on the ice again. What was it like to try and get the rust shaken off and get ready?
Yeah, I mean, just to go back to the start of COVID, I mean, I think through that whole process, I went through a roller coaster of emotions. You know, firstly, you know, COVID hit, so we come home. We were kind of towards the end of the year. You know, the first month maybe was fine because you get to see family, which, you know, you've been away for 9 months, so you don't get to see family. So you're kind of happy to be back and see family. And then I think the longer the months went, when there was no hockey, when normally you're back training and obviously the gyms are shut and the rinks are shut, you kind of go through that, you know, that period of time where you really, you know, sit back and think about it. And obviously me personally, you know, thinking, you know, you take it for granted because it's going to be there. And it kind of got taken away from us, you know, all of us, the fans, the players, of course. So, for you know, it was a period of time there. And then obviously, yeah, like long as he's being able to play for them. I actually had a few games with Milton Keynes before that. So it was good just to get on the ice and, like you said, shake off that rust. There was kind of no pressure there. It was just getting back to being, you know, enjoying hockey again, which, you know, we didn't have for so long. And then obviously it kind of just, you know, it kind of progressed nicely with obviously then the Elite Series and then obviously GB as well. So, yeah, it was kind of an up and down time, you know, as I'm sure it was for everyone, not even in hockey, you know, everyone in the world. But, yeah, it kind of, towards the back end, it kind of started to, you know, progress really nicely.
Give us a bit of insight, lads. You know, I'll start with you, Hickey, on this. To the Elite Series, first of all, as a champion, Hickey, are Nottingham raising a banner? Is that happening? But
I think they're in the eight, but I don't know. Yeah.
But as a concept to try to get some sort of, you know, warm up for you guys going into the GB tournament and just trying to get some play on the ice, it must have been interesting. And with the draft being thrown in there as well, it must have been an interesting experience.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was kind of a fun experience, you know, just with the draft alone. You know, not many people, we never really experienced that, you know, so it was kind of, you know, a bit of fun, and obviously it was cool. And, you know, it was set up super good, you know, like it was really well set up. And yeah, it was just so important for the likes of me, Longer, and obviously the GB boys to get that kind of that pace. You know, it's probably not the pace that the Elite League's normally at prior, but it was still at a half decent level. You know, it was still a very good pace, which, you know, if we went from the NIHL series at Bracknell straight to GB, it would have probably, that step might have been a little bit too much, but the Elite Series coming in definitely helped us all. And obviously, I think that transpired with how we did on the ice at the World Championship. So, Overall, it was a cool experience. Long ago, I'm back to Manchester. Obviously, I was in Nottingham. All jokes aside, it was really good. And, I'm grateful for Nottingham for having me and letting me go on the ice and play. So, and I'm sure Long is the same with Manchester.
I think, Longer, you obviously were an early pickup for Finner going back into Manchester. What was your experience of it?
Yeah, no, it was really good. Same as Lewis. I think everyone going into it, obviously, we're trying to shake off the cobwebs. Me and Lewis were fortunate to have the NI series. And it was fun. We met a lot of new people and guys that we've played against the year before. Made some nice new friends, but it was massively helpful towards making that GB team as well.
What was it like, lads, whenever... I know you've said that it's not going to be up to the pace of GB, but I can't remember. Did we play Russia maybe in our first game? Can't remember right now, but... what was the speed difference like, even the passing accuracy, like compared to like just jumping on the ice for GB versus what you'd been playing in the last, whatever, 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really replicate the pace that those guys play at. You know, it was, they are on a different level. But I think we held a good account of ourselves. And I think sometimes it's hard because, again, it was our first game, so... You know, you kind of expecting a lot, such a level that actually we can skate with them, and I think we've shown that we did skate with them. It's just essentially just the small breakdowns that we would do, and they would just pounce on. It's not necessarily them just being, 10 times better. It's almost we're close, but they're just that consistency that they're there every shift, and if you make the mistake, they're right there to pounce on that. That's kind of the biggest thing I took away from it. And as well, their calmness on the puck, that they're so calm. They don't throw it away at all. That was all the teams. They don't throw the puck away, and they play as a 5-man unit, which was, that was the biggest things I took away from it anyway.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I never played the Russia game, so I was quite thankful that I wasn't, because being able to watch the game beforehand, I thought, really helped me, and like, so I knew what to expect, kind of thing, going into my first game. But yeah, the pace of it was, like Lewis said, we skated with them, we done exceptionally well considering where our country is in the ice hockey world. And I think, yeah, it was crazy just being out playing against those types of teams. I would almost describe it as, it was almost like we were playing on the size of Manchester's ice service with time on the puck, and like everything had to be so quick.
You'd have an experience. Well, gents, listen, we're going to let you go. We really appreciate you coming on. Great to have you back with the Belfast Giants for another season. And given that you have turned up with 3 lines on your chest, it'd be a remiss of me not to ask you, how you guys feel that it will go for you Wednesday night against the Danes. What a shame! What a shame! They seem to. We seem to have lost them. They seem to have been cut off.
We'll see if we can get to what a shame that was. What a
shame that is. I do like the way that one of our producers has already got an apology pre-written so she could explain what this was. So, but listen, massive thanks to both Herky and the Longer for coming on and joining us in the View Bridge. Great to have them. It's great to have those two lads back in a Belfast Giants shirt.
Absolutely. Two top lads. They really are. I know they enjoy the city as well. And to be honest, it was about a week before the lockdown came in last year that Kieran Long owes me a bottle of champagne. I bought it for his birthday in the Heart Bar after a game one night, and all of a sudden lockdown came in. So I'll be looking forward to getting that back, Longer. but yeah, it's great to get the two of them back. It's really important to get a strong nucleus of British players in this league. They're right up there. They're getting better every year. And again, Hookie's a young lad. He's still got a lot to go. And hopefully they're here for another few years yet.
Yeah, we're still getting messages through from Mr. Long and Mr. Hook, who are in the background. Not impressed with the antics that have been undertaken. But Davey, two great players.
Yeah, look, they've came in and they've done exactly what they've been asked by the coach for Hoogie for two seasons, Kieran obviously just for the one so far. And, you know, you like to think that your club has something different that other clubs around the UK or even around the world don't. And players buy into our community and into our city. And like, say this often, I love this club because they represent my city, because I'm never going to be good enough to play for the Belfast Giants. And while they're out there representing my city and me, I'm going to be behind them all the way. I'm delighted to see them both back. You know, as we asked Longer during the thing, you know, he came in as a 30-goal guy and he was playing a different role for us. So I hope that he's not looked on as not a success, because he was a great success. He's came away with, you know, a lot of experience from Belfast. He's ended up at the GB, at the World. So, you know, I hope he comes back absolutely flying. I hope he gets maybe a little bit more opportunity this year to showcase exactly what he can do.
Says?
Yeah, 100%. I just wanted to follow. I forgot to mention her a few minutes ago. I know, obviously, Longer's still here. When he's back in London, he's living in Portadown. And he is looking for a bit of work. If anybody knows, again, he will have our problems. But I know he's looking for a bit of work at the minute. So if anybody knows of any jobs, go and give Longer a call. Even contact us on ABFTV and we'll drop the information to him. And I also know Hookie will be trying to get a bit of work on top of the hockey season as well. He's looking to try and get a trade moving forward. Again, he's still only a young lad. So he's looking a bit of experience, whether it's a spark, a joiner, bricklayer, whatever it may be. He wants to get his hands dirty. So, Davey, you may be able to help him out with that.
I've already a few feelers out for Mr. Hook. So see what we can do there in regards to maybe a bit of plumbing or a bit of sparking for him.
Joel, back to you on these two guys in Giant shirts playing the trade on the ice for us.
Despite the message that has just dropped into the chat saying I won't be participating in any podcasts ever again, full stop, immature, full stop. We said it earlier on, like the boys are in that same category as Rayner, Besko, Darcy Murphy. They get that this club has a meaning that's elevated beyond the vast majority of other sports teams. And I don't like to lean into that too hard. I know that it's a bit of a worn-out old story at the minute in terms of the Belfast Giants and its origin story. And whenever you get an article about this club, it's the first thing they go to. But the fact remains that it is. And we talk about it being this club being so many different things to so many different people. I don't think you'll ever fully quantify what it means. And to move past this 15-month period where people, kind of like the boys being off the ice, people have kind of been robbed of a part of their identity. So many people base their entire social lives, their whole world, around getting to the rink and seeing the boys. And for Hooker, as Hookie and Longer, to join along with Besko, Darcy Murphy and Kevin Rain, just that's a group of guys who get the culture, get the club, and are going to pour all into being in Giant shirts again. Delight it.
Well, I'm also delighted to say they aren't the only two brand new Belfast, returning Belfast Giants, or two new names we're going to put on this season's team sheet. We do have a brand new Belfast Giant. We can exclusively bring to you the name of the Giants roster of, what number of Giants is he now, Davey?
Bubble Nelson, Paddy, 222.
He is the 222nd person to put on the Belfast Giants shirt. And his name is Slater Doggett, 27-year-old centreman from Oakville, Ontario, and I had a chance to catch up with him earlier today. First of all, Slater, welcome to the Belfast Giants. Where are you right now? What are you up to?
Oh yeah, thanks. Thanks for welcoming me. I'm just currently in Oakville, Ontario, just outside of Toronto, working my summer job right now, just on my lunch break. So I'm a greenkeeper at a golf course in the summer. So
very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. And do you get to play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get to play a couple times a week, maybe once or twice. Yeah, it's a nice off-season job.
That'll be an early start to get those greens right.
Yeah, 5:30 a.m. every morning.
Fair play to you. What's this last year been like for you? Before we get into the hockey, what's this last year been like for you?
Yeah, it's been an interesting year. I mean, COVID happening and all, I was supposed to play on this side of the pond and in the ECHL, and the team I was actually signed for originally canceled the season last year, and then they ended up folding for good. So it was kind of weird going through that process. So I actually ended up in Slovakia, mm-hmm. and played half the season there. So it was it was nice to be able to actually play some games. And I know a lot of guys were unfortunately didn't even touch the ice last season, so I consider myself pretty lucky to have that have happened. But yeah, I remember talking. I was hoping to be a Giant even last season, but it never happened. And I'm just really grateful it's happening this year.
Well, that was going to be my next question. How has it come that you've joined the Belfast Giants? Is it a team you'd heard of before? Is there anybody that you'd reached out to speak about it?
Just the coach Adam there. We were talking a little bit in the off season before COVID hit, and then my coach that I played for when I was in the Alps Hockey League in Italy, he actually played for the Giants. I'm not sure how long ago, but you guys would all probably remember him, Dustin Whitecotton.
Of course.
Yeah.
One of the great centermen for the Belfast Giants.
Yeah. We were having a good laugh because when I signed, he was saying that he put up a bunch of points here. So he was saying that there's no way I was going to beat his scoring mark. So it's a little bit of a competition.
The challenge has been laid down, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic stuff. So, yeah, you spent a bit of time. That was your first foray into Europe when you went to Zürich. How was that? You ended up top scorer in that league.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. It was nice, too. My first time in Europe, I had some veterans on the team that kind of taught me the way of Europe and how to handle myself and kind of live in a different country from Canada. So I had some good help there, and it was awesome. Nice place, nice city in the Alps, like a really small town. So like a lot different than a big city like Belfast, but it's kind of cool to experience a small town and kind of.
Did you do much skiing?
Pardon me?
Did you do much skiing?
Skiing?
Yeah.
I did actually get out a couple times. I don't know if I was supposed. Well, when I first got there, I thought there's no chance I'm allowed to ski, but all the local Italian players on the team were skiing every weekend, so I figured it wouldn't hurt if I went once or twice.
It's nice out there. That was your first foray into Europe. Why make that jump? What was the catalyst for you to think, actually, I'm going to have stick, will travel, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, I played a little bit of just six games in the ECHL after my last season of university. And I kind of saw how there were some guys there that maybe they'd been playing in the ECHL for 5 or 6 years and never got a chance to get called up to a higher league in North America. So I was a little bit hesitant to get kind of stuck down there. And I knew that going to Europe and being an import player, there's definitely a good chance to get a lot of ice time and be one of the key players on the team. So that's kind of, I wanted to start kind of in that role right away, yeah, instead of being a guy that coaches don't know whether they can trust or not. So
okay.
It was nice to be one of the top players on the team and have a lot of trust from the coaching staff right away.
And you mentioned it there, you know, university. You spent 4 years at a name of a university we know well, in Queen's University. We have our own Queen's University Belfast here, which is linked with Queen's University in the lovely lakeside town of Kingston. You played for the Frontenacs. You spent a lot of time in Kingston. How were your university years?
Oh, they were awesome. Yeah, it's funny you say that, because we had so many people writing in group chats of ours saying, where's this building located? I can't find it. And it was because they were going to the real Queen's University in Belfast. So people would have to chime in saying, oh, the Queen liked to put universities all over the place. So that was an awesome experience. So probably some of the best 4 years I had. It's nice to be in one spot with the same group of guys for that many years, and also feel like I learned a lot off the ice academically.
You knew the town already, because like I say, you played for Doug Gilmore's team in the Frontenacs, so it was an easy sell for you to stick around there.
Oh yeah, for sure. not only is it the same city and it's a great city, but a lot of ex Frontenac players usually end up at Queens, so mm-hmm. it's kind of you go in knowing a lot of people, and they're obviously all friends from being teammates. That's yeah. you always end up being good friends with your teammates. So it was a pretty easy decision, and definitely don't regret it. Thinking back, how good our teams were there, and how good the education was too.
So what are you expecting from Belfast? Obviously, it's only a few short weeks before you'll come over and join us. But what are you expecting from coming over here?
Yeah, well, biggest thing I'm most excited about is playing in front of fans again. I mean, yeah. I played in Slovakia last year, and I think the fans are pretty good in that country, but we didn't have any last year because of COVID. So kind of the biggest thing I'm looking forward to is definitely playing in front of a lot of fans. I've seen videos and heard from word of mouth how great the fans are in Belfast, so I can't wait to experience a game on the ice. And then second biggest reason is I know that the Giants have a really good winning culture, and kind of the last 2 years, I mean, can't really talk poorly of Dustin because he was a great coach, but he'll probably admit it too, that we didn't really play up to standards, and we didn't go very far in the playoffs that year in Italy, and then last year had a first round exit. So kind of sick of losing, and I want to win some trophies. So I know the Giants have a really good winning culture, so I'm excited to be a part of it.
Well, we hope that when you join us, we can continue that winning culture. Before you, what sort of player do you think the Belfast Giants are getting in you?
I think I'm a pretty versatile player. Like I think I can play anywhere in the lineup, from penalty kill, power play. I could play center, wing. I think they're getting a guy that'll play in all situations, and maybe put a couple goals on the board, and just also have a strong defensive presence. A bit of a two-way forward, I guess, would be a good player profile for me.
And what's the next couple of weeks hold for you before you make the move over the Atlantic? Are you getting on the ice? Are you getting a lot of training in, or is it just work on those greens?
Oh no, yeah. Well, the nice thing about working here, why it's such a good off-season job, is because we start early, but we get to end early too. So it's nice. I can shut it down at work and at 2 p.m. and find some ice and get a workout in. So it's going to be a lot of ice, considering we've been in a pretty harsh lockdown here in Ontario. So it's been hard to get ice. So now that we're starting to open up again, it'll be probably getting on the ice 3-4 times a week and just getting fully ready to go come mid to late September.
Fantastic. But listen, we look forward to having you here over here in Belfast and joining the Giants. Welcome, and enjoy the rest of your summer, and we'll catch up with you again when you make it to Belfast.
Yeah, thank you very much. Can't wait to be a part of it and get over there.
Big thanks to Slater for his time. Interesting hearing about Dustin Whitecotton setting the challenge. But let's now hear from the man who'll put Slater to work. Welcome back to the podcast, the head coach of your Belfast Giants, Mr. Adam Keefe.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me. How bad are you guys?
All good here, mate. All good. We've just heard from Slater Doggett. Well, why is he on your team?
I've just listened to him tell me why he's on a team. Well, but Slater's a guy that we've been following for a few years now, since his time at Queen's University, and player that we've heard some good things about, not only from his time at Queens, but also you heard him there speaking about Dustin Whitecotton, and him giving a reference, you know, coming from a player like Dustin that worked as hard as he did and was as good a player as he was for us. I take a lot of stock in that, and obviously he was a good teammate of mine, so I trust him. And not only that, we've done our homework on Slater, and we think he'll be a solid piece to the puzzle on this team, and we're looking forward to getting him here and see what he can do.
Coach, how important is it that players that have played here, you know, you talk about Dustin White cutting over a point a game. I think he played with Sheds and Swezer in a great lineup. Two ways, he worked really hard. How important is it that those guys go away from the game and give references back to guys that they see playing now and say Belfast is a great place to play?
Yeah, it's a really big part of our recruiting. And I think, I would say every year there's at least a handful of guys that came to us as a result of somebody who played for the Giants that told them how good of a situation it is. And certainly if it's us reaching out to the player, they usually know somebody who's played here. So you can bet they're going to reach out and see what it's like here. And it's always nice that we know that whenever somebody asks about the Belfast Giants, it's always going to be a positive report. And that only helps us sell this team and sell this city to any new players who don't have any knowledge of what hockey is like here in Belfast.
Adam, obviously we announced Besko, Rayner, and Darcy Murphy at the weekend. Or sorry, Darcy Murphy. Yeah, Darcy thanks. And then we've just announced that Lewis Hook and Kieran Long are the two British guys that played alongside, for you in Latvia there again. The experience they've had in Latvia, obviously, has been off the ice for a while, as most guys have. How exciting are you to get the Hook on Long back in the lineup as well?
Yeah, it's huge to have, part of our core back, our British core, but also a core of our team back that knows how we want things done here. They know what this team means to the community. And they have two players that came here and bought into our culture and what we want to get done here. Two big pieces of the puzzle. I mean, obviously, Kieran came here and was part of that special season we had. And then Longer came here. And we had another good season that we never got to see finish. But certainly two big pieces of the puzzle there. And two guys that recently cracked the GB national team at the World Championships. And I'm really happy for them that they got to be a part of that. I know how hard they've worked to make that team. And it was nice to see them, and a real proud moment to watch them play against those types of players and experience that.
Coach, great to see you again. This feels like things are finally getting back to normal, and it's fantastic to be in a week where we have signings to talk about and a season ahead. I do have a question about Slater Doggett, but first of all, I guess this is the first show since baby Cora was born, so can we all just congratulate the head coach on becoming a father for the first time? Congratulations to Colleen as well. I just wanted to ask, and I'm sure the fans will want to know as well, what are your experiences being of fatherhood so far? Are you having fun?
You know what, I can't complain. Colleen's taking the brunt of it, but certainly it was nice to be home for the first few months there before I took off for World Championships, and to experience those I guess sleepless nights or a couple hours a night, and but just to be there and see all those moments that sometimes when you're in the thick of the season, you miss a lot of those opportunities to see them grow through those moments or just even to experience those moments. So very thankful for that. I guess it's a silver lining in this pandemic for me anyways. So I'm very thankful for that and just looking forward to watching her grow up here. And she's certainly doing that fast.
We can't wait to see Cora crushing guys twice her size on the ice in no time, I'm sure. But a quick question just on Slater Doggett, obviously another graduate of U Sports. It's probably been the most exciting thing to me, the most exciting development over the last maybe 10 years in our league, that more and more NCAA guys, U Sports guys are making their way over at a young stage in their career and playing their trade over here. How much of that do you think has to do with the Friendship Four and Belfast being the sort of spark for all of that? Or do you think that hockey would have went that way anyway?
I think the Friendship Four certainly has a part to play in all of that. I mean, you look at Darcy Murphy, I think, was the first guy we brought back from the Friendship Four. Chris Truel was one. There's been a few others that I'm forgetting. But, there's throughout this whole summer and last summer of recruiting and the summer before that, you'd be surprised at how many guys I come across that have played in the Friendship Four and I've loved the city, love the arena, love the fans, love the setup. And that helps us sell this team so much more than if we didn't have it. I mean, when I first came over here, I had no idea about the setup here in Belfast, the city. I had no idea what to expect. So I kind of was taking a leap of faith and trusting Doug Christensen on his word. In order now to have 80 odd NCAA players come here and experience it, not only did they get to experience it, but their friends are going to hear about the experience that they've had here. So, it just only helps us grow this experience here in Belfast, and everybody can kind of get a hang, and there's less surprises when they get here. They know exactly what they're coming to.
When it comes to, obviously now we've got six names on the team sheet going into this new season, and having had the preparation done for last season and unfortunately had to be canned, we heard from Slater earlier on, I believe he was also on the cards for last season's team. Are you going back to that well and just saying, listen, lads, we can go again?
Yeah, I mean, the way that we work here is, we get players that we're interested in, we try and contact them or their agents and see if there's interest in Belfast. If not, we try to convince them of Belfast. And, sometimes that doesn't pay off this summer, but maybe it pays off next summer. Maybe it pays off the summer after that. And that's certainly been happening. So you put in the work and touch base with these players and lay out the opportunity here in Belfast. That's everything from the city to the fans to the community to the apartment setup, everything from the apartment to the Heart Bar. Yes, we did a lot of work last summer, and unfortunately we weren't able to ice a team, but that work it didn't go unnoticed, and certainly have those lists from last summer and made those connections and those relationships with some players that are paying off for us this summer.
Coach, a bit of a boring stats-based question, I guess. Who fell deeper? It's not really a stats-based question. Obviously, puck possession is critical, and we've signed a decent centerman and Slater Doggett there. How easy is it to reference things like his face-off numbers and what you can expect in the circle from him?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting better. In terms of the program we use now is called Instat, and you're able to, as long as a team in that league or a few teams in that league have had this program, you're able to just click in, type in a player's name and watch that player. Not only that, they also have stats, face-off stats in particular. So you can look up a player and check out his face-off stats. And obviously you got to take it with a grain of sand, because we don't sure exactly how accurate it is, but certainly lead you in the right direction.
You go for it.
Just wanted to touch on, how was your pizza on Saturday night?
Pizza was spectacular. And it was also nice to catch up with some of the old Giants, and also get into the city and see that everything is starting to pick back up.
Don't mention anything about the taxi home, but that's all right. Don't worry about it. Fine. No problem. My ears were burnt off me. I have never heard Adam Keith talk so much in my entire life. 25 minutes from Belfast up to Glengormley, because we had to go the long way. Never stop talking. Never stop talking.
Brought you up to God's country.
Kieran Long and Lewis Hook on earlier on, and Lewis Hook made a claim that you are introducing the women of Belfast to the players in order to retain them. Is that any truth in that? Can you qualify that?
I think that's been in place long before me, and I think I'm living proof of it.
Yeah. That's a very good point.
Absolutely. Yeah, so,
I think there's, I'm not sure there's, I think there's upwards of 10 players that are Northern Irish, I guess, blow-ins. So
and the good thing is that even if they go away, like the Brandon Benedict, they come back.
Sooner or later
they all come back. Well, Coach, listen, you've got a hard job ahead of you, no doubt, over the next couple of weeks and the months ahead as well, getting the team on the ice, getting the team ready for the new season. We really, really appreciate your time coming to join us. It's good to have you back on the View from the Bridge, and we'll no doubt we'll catch up with you again before the season starts.
No problem, guys. Nice to hear you guys chatting again. Look forward to listening to the show, and look forward to seeing you guys all back at the arena in September or October or whenever we start.
best to check that,
right, Coach. Cheers, guys.
Thanks. Yeah. Good to have Coach back on the show.
I'm assuming we've got a new hashtag for Kiefer. Like, has to be. Well, begins with P.
Does it?
Not that. I think that's one for the outtakes, real boys.
Quickly before we start to wrap up, thoughts on Slater Dockett, Davey?
Yeah, I think I don't know whether you referenced it in your interview with him or not. I think it's signed for the Brampton based, and then obviously COVID came along and things didn't work out, and you know. What do we all do? You take a quick deep dive into elite prospects and you Google him and you read about what he's done over his career and you know, good things, nothing but good things, you know, the old hockey cliche, nothing but good things come out of his university days. Some fabulous photos of him there with his team celebrating, you know, success, and that's what you want. Players want to win things and they want to go places where they can win things. And when someone like Dustin Whitecotton is referencing Belfast and he's saying, if he comes in here and beats Dustin Whitecotton's score, like 70 points in 60 games, you know, we've got ourselves a good centerman. So, you know, with Darcy Murphy in now, with Slater Doggett, we're building a nice forward unit up there. His numbers from that league in Italy will take with a slight pinch of salt for the quality compared to what he'll probably be playing at, you know, 86 points in 44 games, although it's in the Alps League. So you score 40 goals in any season, you've had a decent season. So looking forward to getting him in here, getting his wheels underneath him and seeing how he goes.
So is that connection with Dustin Whitecotton, that challenge that he's been set by his former coach coming into his former coach's former team, it's an interesting one?
Absolutely. No, I mean, we all know how good Dustin Whitecotton was. You know, and it's just a pity he only played one season in Belfast. He was absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. You know, Davey's just touched on it there. It's difficult to try and gauge the standard of a player by just watching or just looking at elite prospects and what have you, or hockey DB. But, you know, again, Adam and Mace, and I know Mace is watching an awful lot of video on players at the minute. And I asked the question to Steve last week, you know, just how many CVs or resumes does he get from players, from agents? You know, he says thousands, you know. And so, you know, they've done their homework. You know, and we're lucky enough where, you know, we give people a chance. You know, Davey touched on it earlier in the show about Darcy Murphy. You know, Darcy, the first two seasons that he was here, the two seasons he was here, he started slow. Other teams would have got rid of him. He would have been gone, but we've given him a chance and he's come out. And, you know, hopefully, you know, if he plays in the line with Slater Doggett and Slater can find a puck and put it on a stick for Darcy, you know, you just never know where it's going to go. But look, again, I'm happy enough with the first six signings that we've made. A couple of British guys that we're going to play a long time in Belfast, hopefully, and then a couple of guys here returning. So, yeah, it's a good start.
Joel, he did play, you know, four seasons at Queen's University, wore the A for two of those seasons. So, obviously, a guy who has leadership qualities. And Sizz asked a great question last week to the lads about, you know, getting the right people in the room and the right attitudes. We heard earlier from Longer and Hookie, and two guys with great attitudes, great personalities who, you know, will be good in the room. And from looks of the leadership qualities of Slater Doggett, you're going to get that also.
Yeah, to echo Sizz, this is exactly, to be honest, the point that I wanted to make, you know, and to stick with, I guess, my theme of the evening. You know, we're talking a lot about cultural fit tonight and how important that is, as well as on-ice production. And in Slater Doggett, from what you can see, and you know, we can't profess to have seen the guy's career throughout, you know, the years so far, but from everything that you can see online, I mean, not only a fantastic athlete, he made, you know, his all-rookie team and an all-star team in every year that he was in the OUA East. But he also was awarded one of the top eight academic All-Canadians in 18-19. And that's a U Sports award that's given, funnily enough, to eight people out of the entire U Sports in all disciplines. And it doesn't just measure your sort of success as an athlete, but also as a student and as a person. I think you're bringing in a mature young man here that has a head on his shoulders, that has leadership capabilities, as well as hopefully that kind of exciting, young, kind of fiery, intense on-ice production that we've seen from the other college kind of age guys that have come through Belfast. For me, just an absolutely brilliant signing all around. And also also fantastic to see that the coaches and Thorts are also putting their time into checking that the guys are a cultural fit and they're going to come here and understand what their job is, and it's much more than just playing hockey.
I will say as well that, having had a bit of experience in Kingston, Ontario, around Queen's University there, it is a great place to go to university. It's some very nice bars, I think, the grad club. Very nice indeed. But no, it's the I had a decent chat with him earlier on, a nice guy, and hopefully he'll come into Belfast and come and we'll beat that scoring record from Dustin Whitecotton, because you know it will be a difficult one to beat. This is where we're going to start wrapping up things, gents. And how do we do it? Always, it is of course with any other business. Anything, throw it open. Go on.
Always have my begging bowl out. If you want to bleed tea, we're still taking blood.
Absolutely.
We're still giving pints. We're still giving donations. So, you know, get along to your local blood bank, give a pint of claret, and, you know, let your fingers do the walking on the Twitter there. Hashtag bleed till 100. And the other thing is, we've still got this jersey. Whose shirt was it?
Paul Swindlehurst.
Swinney's. Paul Swindlehurst's CHL jersey. There are a few tickets left. We were going to close it down, but we'd said to Amy, we'd keep it up for another few days just to try and squeeze those last few fivers out of you. If you would, it's for a new wheelchair for Ethan. He really needs it now. He's struggling with his mobility, and he needs this more than ever. We can help him. £5. It's less than the price of a pint in the city centre now. So, you know, if you can, I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult for people to, hospitality Ulster's Joel Naylor just shakes his head.
Tough moment for me there.
Are you just upset about the price of a pint?
Carry on.
You know, if you can spare a couple of quid, we'll boost a couple of other prizes in there. If you can spare a couple of quid and that help us sell those last few tickets, it would be greatly appreciated.
Here, here.
I just wanted to say, I've watched, drove past the SSA Arena in the last few weeks, and well, maybe just over a month or so, and the amount of people going in and out to get their vaccinations, and obviously the management side of things behind that has been absolutely outstanding. The Odyssey Trust and, you know, putting the arena in place for the vaccination centre is a genius move. I know Northern Ireland's going in the right direction with regards to, you know, everybody getting the vaccination and you know, hopefully, as I say, this bloody infection or disease, whatever it may be, is coming to an end. But, you know, the people behind, the workers and the vaccination, obviously the doctors and nurses from the NHS are forever in our debt, because we're definitely moving in the right direction, but couldn't be done without the SSE.
Bravo. Joel, you got in?
We mentioned it earlier. I saw it on Twitter earlier because Sizz had replied to him. But congratulations, and just to bring up fatherhood again, to Patrick Runka, formerly of this parish, him and his partner. I think, my Polish isn't great, but I think it was a daughter called Maya. So congrats to Runks. Really, really good kid. I obviously wish him all of our very best.
Maya looks about the same size as Patrick already. It's unbelievable.
He's one that bugs me. He's one right player at the wrong time.
I think so.
Unbelievable player. Unbelievable skills.
You remember him in the Continental Cup? He was firing. He was firing. Yeah. I remember Sizz saying, Jordan's just saying, what do you think of that Ronka kid? I think we've got our eye on him. And just, he was brilliant. He was brilliant. And like you say, probably the right guy at the wrong time.
Absolutely.
But yeah, congratulations to him. Right, let's wrap it up. Listen, I want to say a big thank you to Lewis Hook, Kieran Long, Slater Doggett, and of course, Adam Keefe. Also a big thanks to Anne and Sinead in the background who's helping me with production. This is remarkable. This is making my life so much easier. You know, it's if we can employ them every time we do this, that'll be
you're going to get to bed before 3 a.m.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Yeah,
game four tonight, boys. Game four is not
done. I think it's done. Does anybody else not think it's done?
You just never know, man. I think it is done, but you just never know. Montreal in Montreal. You know, it's just never know.
Well, by the time this goes out, everybody will know whether it's done or not. If you've got to get in contact with us, you know, kingdomthejazz.com, at AVFTB on Twitter, and you can, of course, get us on Facebook as well. Thanks very much for joining us. It's maybe a little bit rusty around the edges for us, but then if you've thought to yourself it's always rusty around the edges, never listen to our show again. We only want positive vibes around here. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Thanks, boys.
Cheers.
And wherever you are, we hope you're enjoying your summer. We hope you're looking forward to your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. You're right.
Social Podcast Network.